McNabb stepping in for the Knights. He scores! Walked right out in front, and Braden McNabb, you read his lips, he just said wow himself. Eakin on the right side wall, coming up to the slot. Lots of room, Eakin shoots and scores! Second goal of the game for Cody Eakin. Right circle, Schmidt threw it across the net map. In front, stop, another try, score! Tatar! Reeves in the right side to the right circle, centering feed, a shot, they score! Belmar fires from between the circles. Marchessault peels off on the right wing near side. To the slot, he shoots, he scores! Marchessault! 4-3 Knights! Vegas wins in overtime!
And welcome in, a good Friday to you. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. Full studio today, Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman. And, well, we got some more interviews from the red carpet that we will play, easy for me to say. Got some Vegas Golden Knights news. The NHL draft is going on. There's lots of other news going on. But how you guys doing? What's going on there, Clayton?
I'm just getting ready for the draft. Got 2 days worth of that, and then a 4 week of development camp next week. It'll be fun to see Nick Suzuki and Cody Glass, Eric Brandstrom, and the boys, and whoever we find that'll be a new player just joining the team this weekend. Be fun.
Oh, what am I looking for? I am looking forward to the trades that will happen at the draft, if for no other reason than Gary Bettman going up on stage and saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, there's a trade to announce," and he does it every year, and it makes me laugh, and I love it so much. But I actually think there's going to be a pretty big trade involving, I don't know, some defenseman from Ottawa.
Well, yeah, I mean, that seems to be the rumor all over the place. Steve Karp wrote a pretty decent article earlier today that I had a chance to look at, basically saying that he talked to George McPhee, and McPhee had said that this isn't the type of draft where you basically necessarily try to move up, because the player that they would have got originally at 30, they might still be available at 61 because there's a lot of parity and equality in the draft. But he also did say that when people are talking about the Erik Karlsson to Vegas type stuff, that's exactly what it is a lot of talk. Now, that being said, that doesn't mean that talk couldn't have some truth sprinkled in there with it.
Yeah, I mean, what's he supposed to tell you? Yeah, I'm actively trying to get Erik Karlsson and tip his hand. And
here's my cards. Are these good?
Yeah. Hey, Pierre Dorian, here's what I'm looking for. Hey, everybody else, this is what I'm offering. And then have somebody either sneak in and fleece him or whatever the case may be. I mean, obviously, George McPhee's not going to tip his hand. He's not going to give us anything, which is fine. That's totally okay. But I think when you've got enough smoke, there needs to be a fire. And this has been a fire surrounding Vegas and Erik Karlsson since the trade deadline.
It'll be curious, like we've talked about at nauseum, whether or not it's Erik Karlsson for 1 year, we'll wait and see, or if it's the kind of thing where they've worked out some sort of extension prior, and that really is going to be what sets the price.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that you can make this deal if you're the Vegas Golden Knights without knowing that Erik Karlsson is going to be a fixture on your blue line for at least the next 5 to 7 years. You have to know that he's willing to extend with you, because you're likely going to be giving up a player of the caliber, or probably the player Shea Theodore. And if you believe that Erik Karlsson over the next 5 to 7 years can either make you 3 wins better and he can play at a high level or equal to the level of Shea Theodore when he's a little bit more developed in 2 or 3 years, then you make the deal. But, you know, if you've got Erik Karlsson for 1 year and then he goes somewhere else and Shea Theodore blossoms in 2 years into what Erik Karlsson is, you don't look very good in that trade.
Absolutely. 100% correct.
And the other thing about the trade, too, because we keep on talking about what Vegas is going to have to give up for it, or the speculation of what players or prospects or whatever. But the other part of the equation is, quite likely, if Erik Karlsson does come here, it'll be with Bobby Ryan.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't have a problem with that. I'm fine with Bobby Ryan. Now, granted, he's got a really high cap hit and he's got 4 years left, which might cause some problems down the road. But if you look at Bobby Ryan and you look at the type of player that he might be on this team, he's going to probably score goals, at least more goals than Brendan Leipzig. And, you know, if you've got a guy that can maybe pencil him in for 12 to 15 goals, and it's known that you brought him on to get Erik Karlsson. Like, you didn't go out there and trade for Bobby Ryan because you think you can resurrect his career. You took him on so that you can get one of the best defensemen in the league. If you can play that narrative, and Bobby Ryan overachieves a little bit, then you've won.
You also think about the cap hit and how it's really not that much of an issue. And like you said, until maybe year three and year four, don't forget David Clarkson comes off of the payroll after 2 years. So that's $5.25 million that you're going to have in sort of free money after the next two seasons, which can help cover somebody like Bobby Ryan.
Yeah, especially if you take your time with some of the young prospects and you kind of push along their entry-level contract as far as you can before you have to start paying them. Because that again, pushes back their first big contract. So, I mean, again, it's one of those scenarios where I trust in George McPhee, his ability to read what he has, his ability to read and assess talent, and then to offer fair value. I don't think Pierre Dorion really knows what he's getting himself into in negotiations with George McPhee, and I feel like Pierre Dorion's going to have to realize that he doesn't hold any of the cards. Everybody in the world knows Erik Karlsson wants out of Ottawa. Okay, so it's either going to happen now, or Dorion's not going to make the deal, or Dorion's going to ask for too much, Vegas is going to walk away, and then at the trade deadline, it's still going to happen, he's going to continue to ask for the deal, no one's going to take it. They're just going to say, we'll sign Erik Karlsson in the offseason. There's no way he's coming back to Ottawa. So if you can get him for free, get him for free.
Could you imagine if Ottawa does put themselves in a situation, and we're going to get to some Vegas Golden Knights stuff here with the schedule and other things too real quick, but since we open with this, can you imagine what the fan base and everything would do up in Ottawa if they ended up having Karlsson play out this year, getting nothing for him, and still having Bobby Ryan with his salary hit on the books?
All 2,415 people would revolt.
That's probably an accurate number. But I mean, it would be so like Pierre Dorion, mm-hmm. and he still has a job. And you again, you see this all throughout the league, right? We had Stu Cowan on the other day. What did he say about Mark Bergevin? I don't know why he's continuing to make trades. I don't know why he's continuing to do things. Pierre Dorion is not doing right by the Ottawa Senators, not the people that pay him, and not the fan base that's interested and wants this team to be a good team. I don't know why Pierre Dorion still has a job. I really don't. But as somebody that may benefit from him not being a very good general manager, I'm okay with it, at least until the Karlsson deal's made.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, and we'll see how that transpires, if anything happens today or tomorrow with the draft going on this weekend, if it happens a little bit before July 1st, when maybe everybody, all the unrestricted free agents become available and free agency opens up and that, so lots to get to before that. But guys, the schedule is out. Mm-hmm. A little bit different than last year's schedule, where they open up on the road, and then it was pretty home-friendly for a while. But Vegas Golden Knights, as we reported yesterday, will open October 4th against Philadelphia. Then they hit the road for five games. Then they come home for five games. And then they ended up on the road again. So only six home games in October, only five home games in the month of November. So a lot of road travel in the first couple months of the season for this team next year.
Yeah, a lot of road travel, which is good for the end of the year. They'll have a little bit more home ice come the end of the season. But early in November, there's two real sections of the schedule that I think we're going to learn a lot about this team. And one of them is in November. And it's from Tuesday, November 6th to Sunday as November 11th. They are at Toronto, at Ottawa, at Montreal, at Boston. And that's one of those trips where you need to beat Ottawa, you need to beat Montreal, and you need to beat one of the two in Toronto and Boston. And if that can be a six-point road trip, I think you learn a lot about where this team is at, and that's a good indication that they're doing the things that they need to do to be successful this season.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the schedule, and you look at those games are kind of sandwiched together, and there's a couple of You got two good teams. You got two probably bad teams in the middle there, and it's easy to lose focus when you have to come in, play a hot team or play a good team like Toronto, and then you go and you have to try to figure out a way to win the games you're supposed to win. So, I mean, yeah, you'll learn a lot about the Vegas Golden Knights in November, and you'll learn a lot about them and how they deal with the first couple of weeks of the season. I think, to me, are going to be interesting, regardless of who they end up playing, because they've got a target on their back now, and it's different than the target that they had at the beginning of the year last year. Yeah, last year it was, we just don't want to lose to an expansion team. Now it's, we're trying to beat the Western Conference champions. We're trying to beat the team that came three wins away from winning a Stanley Cup. So I think they're just going to be a different target on their back, and a lot of teams have a hard time dealing with that. So the first couple of weeks of the season, to me, are going to be huge.
Well, and those first few games right off the bat, okay, you open up against Philadelphia. Now, that's a winnable game, but again, there's going to be banner ceremonies. There's going to be a lot of emotion in the arena, not like there was this past season, but there's going to be emotion there. We know that historically teams have struggled on nights when they're raising banners or something, although this isn't a Stanley Cup banner. We know that Philadelphia would like to win that game. Then you go 4-5 on the road, Minnesota, who has played the Golden Knights tough, Buffalo, who isn't a very good team, but then at Washington, at Pittsburgh, at Philadelphia, that's your first six games. If you look at it realistically and not with your Golden Knights glasses on, that's a rough way to start the season.
The back-to-back Washington and Pittsburgh, that's going to be a tough stretch because obviously the Washington Capitals are going to be a couple of games into their season. They're going to be feeling better. They're going to knock off some of the rust. So that'll be an interesting game just to kind of see where the teams stack up. But really, it's the Pittsburgh matchup that's going to be interesting to me just because they're going to be coming in off of a back-to-back. They played the night before. How are they going to really be able to respond against a Pittsburgh team that I think is really chomping at the bit to reestablish themselves as a powerhouse in the East?
I'm just glad we're done with Philadelphia by October 13th.
Yeah, well, that is interesting.
We're done with Buffalo early, yeah, too. It's weird. I don't like that. I'm not a fan.
And by the way, if you do want to see Washington, obviously they open up the fourth game of the season there, but if you want to see them when they come to T-Mobile, that game is Thursday, December the 4th, to see the rematch of the Stanley Cup final from last year.
Another part of the schedule I think is going to be fun is in March, and it's two trips that they have to make to San Jose. They play San Jose on the second night of a back-to-back twice, where they play the first night at home and the second night on the road. March 17th at home at T-Mobile against Edmonton, followed by the 18th at San Jose. And just a couple of weeks later, at home at T-Mobile on the 29th against Minnesota, and the next night at San Jose on the 30th. And they have to do that trip the exact same way twice, and you got a feeling the way that those two teams ended last season that perhaps San Jose and Vegas are on a collision course for another meetup in the playoffs. So those could be some pretty fun and exciting games in March.
It's really going to be interesting to see what San Jose does over the next week and a half, because I feel like Doug Wilson is really loading up to do something big. John Tavares, big. So that'll be interesting. It really will, because if Tavares is a landing spot in San Jose, and then you've got Carlson possibly coming to Vegas, I mean, those are probably your two best teams in the Pacific Division by a mile. So that'll be interesting. It really will. Those games are going to be must watch.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of interesting games. I think it's interesting that the team that is most likely the rival, the team that they'll end the season with, the LA Kings, they also play them on Tuesday, January 1st. So might be a little hangover from New Year's Eve to January 1st, getting ready for that, all the bowl games and everything going on, but there's going to be hockey there. By the way, in January, they only play 10 games in January because that's going to be their bye week this year as well. So after January 23rd, and they have three home games in a row, they have Pittsburgh the 19th, Minnesota the 21st, and Nashville the 23rd. They're not going to be home again because of the All-Star game and then the bye week until February the 9th. So it's going to be a long time there for Golden Knights fans. You definitely want to try to catch one of those last three games before they go on their break, because it's going to be 2.5 weeks or so before they're back home again because of the break, and then a four-game road trip when they come back from the break.
Yeah, it's a nutty schedule. I'm still not a huge fan of the bye week. I just feel like I'd rather they sprinkled those off days in throughout the season rather than take a full week off.
Yeah, and if you talk to most of the players, they would argue the same thing. I don't like it. It just doesn't make any sense, especially when you have so many back-to-back scenarios that you have to play through, and it's not the optimal schedule. It really isn't. And I got confused, Frank. You said the rivals, and I was half expecting you to say the Arizona Coyotes.
No. I mean, Arizona, this is going to sound really like elitist or something. Arizona's not good enough to be our rival.
Eggs. Soapbox it, my friend. Go on.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking with the PR reps from Arizona before we had Clayton Keller on the Insider Show at the awards. And I was asking him, I was like, hey, when Seattle comes in, are you guys moving to the Central? And he's like, nah, man, no way. We don't want to go to the Central at all. He's like, they're petitioning to have Calgary and Edmonton go to the Central and Colorado come over into the Pacific along with Seattle. That's Arizona's position on the whole thing, because they don't want to leave and go to the Central.
Yeah, just not sure how much clout Arizona has.
Yeah, who knows how? But hey, you know what?
I respect making an effort.
Yeah, that they have a position and that they want to stick around. Good for them.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that they would want to stay in the Pacific because then they could actually beat an expansion team in Seattle.
Could be
first time.
Maybe.
Yeah,
we haven't seen their roster yet.
You know,
yet.
That's a very good point.
We haven't seen their roster yet.
That's true.
Very true.
Release the Kraken.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. We got the draft coming up here later on today. And then, of course, first round is today. It's down in Big D, Dallas. And Vegas Golden Knights only have the one pick in the second round. That's the only pick they have in the first three. Then they have two picks in rounds 4, 5, and 6, so 7 picks total. Detroit's the team that seems to be loaded up on picks. They have 11 picks, including 2 in the first round, one of them the 30th pick because of the Tatar deal with the Vegas Golden Knights. But, you know, speaking of the draft and some of the young players out there in that, our own Chris Chapman had a chance to catch up with one of the young stars from the league. Will Vegas find a guy like this? Maybe they already have one in a guy like Cody Glass or something. But Matt Barzal was on the red carpet, and Chris Chapman caught up with him.
Matthew, up for your first award. What's it feel like?
You know what? I honestly, this last 2 days have been two of the craziest days of my life. Just meeting, you know, guys I grew up watching and being here with them and taking it all in, you know, learning so many things. So it's been a blast. I've had so much fun with it, and you know, hopefully one day I can come back.
Got to be honest, you were one of my favorite guys to watch play at T-Mobile this year that wasn't a member of the Golden Knights. So what did you take away from playing here in Vegas?
You know what? I said it all year long. Whoever asked, my buddies or my parents, it was always a favorite place to play. The coolest atmosphere this year was in Las Vegas. So I think a lot of that's kind of the consensus around the league a little bit. It was so fun coming here and playing, and I'm not even talking about the city. I'm just talking about the in-game details and the atmosphere at the rink with the fans and stuff. So it was one of my favorite places to play for sure.
All right, so you were the guy I was writing all year for Rookie of the Year, but obviously a couple of other guys are up for it. If you had to handicap it, who would if you had a vote, who would you have voted for?
Trust me, there was a lot of guys that had really good seasons, even guys that weren't nominated. It was such a strong rookie class. Kyle Connor had a great year with 30 goals. Charlie McAvoy was, a beast back there in Boston. And, of course, you know, Brock and Clayton had great seasons. I don't think it'd be fair to me to pick just one. There was a lot of deserving guys, I think.
All right, thanks a lot, and best of luck tonight.
Thank you.
And there's Chris Chapman with Barzal on the red carpet there. And, you know, doing the politically correct thing there. The one thing, and maybe it's because I'm still from Chicago and I do watch the Blackhawks a lot, Alex DeBrincat never gets any love. The guy just never gets mentioned when they're talking about the business. He's one of the better young players out there.
You can't even audible to the fact that the Blackhawks weren't very good this year because neither was Vancouver and neither were the Islanders. And neither was Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of times good young players are on teams that aren't very good.
Right.
Typically, yeah. So Alex DeBrincat was fine. He was okay. I don't think that he's a better player all around than Brock Besser. I think if Brock Besser doesn't get hurt, I don't think Matt Barzal wins this.
But if you're listing a laundry list of 7 or 8 players,
I was glad that he gave some love to Charlie McAvoy. He was
absolutely
very impressive this season. And Kyle Connor, that guy just snuck up on everybody and wasn't a part of very many conversations, but what a good young player he is.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, it was fun, too, talking to Clayton Keller there on the red carpet when we got to get on the show there, because we basically asked him how he liked Vegas and everything, and he's like, I'm 19 years old. I go out to dinner with my parents. That's what he told us. He said, all I do is I get to go out to dinner with my parents and I play video games.
It's like I get to go bowling and I get to go to the arcade. That's all I'm allowed to do. Well, that's why Clayton Keller played so well in Vegas and everyone else on his team was awful.
We asked everybody on that red carpet and they all said there was no Vegas flu.
Well, right. They're not going to admit to shenanigans,
yes.
Frank. Come on.
I was hammered. Yes. No, I don't think we're going to hear that.
I wasn't, but my teammates, boy, what they did. That's why we lost that game. Vegas Golden Knights. All right, what about the draft? Vegas, do you sense there's going to be some movement or something? Are they just going to stay where they are? Again, George McPhee told Steve Karp that basically this isn't kind of the draft where you're looking to move up or something. But if a deal comes around, he also said that it's a lot quieter in the offices than it was last year. His phone's not exactly ringing off the hook. But would it be draft picks that were involved in some kind of deal made or something like that? Or would it be pieces that are already in place?
A deal for Erik Karlsson? Or?
For any deal that they might look out there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't expect the Golden Knights to really make a push to get a draft pick in today's draft in the first round. I don't expect them to make a push to do that at all. I believe that George McPhee truly believes that if he can get a player at 45, if he's done his homework, it could be just as good as a player that you take at 25. I really believe that. And to be honest with you, this isn't the deepest draft. You've got two guys at the top that are probably going to play in the league next year, and then you've got the rest of the field that's going to need to get developed. So if you believe in your development staff, if you believe in your scouts, and if you believe in your coaching, then you can take somebody at wherever the Golden Knights are picking first in this draft and develop them and make them into the player that you want them to be. I don't think they have to trade anything to move into the first round. That all being said, I absolutely do think draft picks – future draft picks will be involved in any potential trades that the Vegas Golden Knights make.
I think a lot of other GMs have echoed that sentiment, that they feel that it is a wide open draft and there are a lot of value picks that you can get later. The two guys that you had alluded to, Ryan, Rasmus Dahlin is going to go number one to Buffalo. Everyone expects Andrei Svechnikov to go to Carolina number two. And that really becomes the question of the shape of the draft depends on what Montreal does at three. Do they go with forward? Do they look at somebody like Brady Tkachuk? Do they look at Filip Zadina? Or do they go with one of the defensemen, you know? And there are plenty of options that route. And I think whatever Montreal decides to do is going to set the course for the direction that other teams go.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Montreal, I think you need a forward mainly because or just somebody that can play up in the front because you don't have a center. And you've got to figure out a way to either develop a center or you have to figure out a way to trade for a center or do something. Maybe Montreal makes a trade. Maybe they trade away the third overall pick for a center or something like that, or package a deal with Pacioretty to bring in a center that you have that you could, that can play. But I mean, the Montreal Canadiens, just throw something against the wall and see what sticks. And I think that's how Mark Bergevin makes his decisions, to be honest.
Well, and Montreal and Edmonton are two teams in those first 15 or so that have said that they are looking to possibly trade their pick. So they've let it be known out there. We'll see if that happens. Do we almost feel sorry for the number four pick who's ever got to go to Ottawa?
No. I mean, they'll be playing in the league. They're not going to get paid very much. And I mean, to be honest with you, if you get somebody at number four, given what's happening in Ottawa, the mass exodus of players that just want nothing to do with the franchise, maybe this guy, whoever it is going to get to come in and play in the NHL year one, if he's not ready, because that's something Ottawa would do.
Do I sense, Ryan, that that I'm getting the feeling that come April that we're not going to see Ottawa in the playoffs and everyone say, no one saw that coming? Where it's there's no chance. They're going to be who we thought they were.
I mean, there's like a 0.075% chance that Ottawa does what Vegas did this year. But I mean, that's being generous. If I'm being honest, I don't think they're
saying
gonna
there's a chance.
I mean, after this year, we can't discount any team, right? Like every team has the ability to do something miraculous, something crazy. But I mean, it's Ottawa. Let's be honest. They did that 2 years ago when they were within a win. Within a goal, really, of going to the Stanley Cup final.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights. Lots of more stuff to get to. We'll look at some NHL news. Also, a very interesting interview that Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace had a chance to do with Brian Boyle. Real quick, though, too, like to let everybody know or remind them that next week is the development camp.
Yeah, next week is the development camp. Monday is going to be just for the players. They're going to be doing their physicals and whatnot. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, they will have games. A complete schedule is up at VegasGoldenKnights.com. There'll be practices in the morning and some scrimmages in the afternoon. And then as we get later in the week, it'll be scrimmages in the morning.
Yeah, so make your plans. If you can get some time off or you want to go over there and see some hockey and you're jonesing for it a little bit, check out the development camp. See some of these young stars, Cody Glass, Nick Suzuki, Nick Haig, Eric Branstrom, the other players out there, whoever they might pick up in this draft here. And you never know who you might see walking around there as well in the facilities, because I have a feeling that some of the Golden Knights in town just might be swinging by as well.
Do yourself a favor, pick up a roster when you first come in, because there are times that they change jerseys in the middle of practice and go from one squad to another. So make it easier on yourself to realize who is who.
And you got to see how guys play with everybody else out there, too. Yep. So,
just pay attention to the small guy on defense. That's Eric Brandstrom. He's going to be great.
And remember, you never know what you might see out there, because last year, I believe the first goal was a Michigan to Ohio State combination, which is very, very unlikely in the sporting world.
I wonder if we're going to see Jake Slaker and Wyatt Eggy back this year. It's always fun to see some of those college guys.
Yeah, we will find out. All right, when we come back, stick around. You don't want to miss this. Brian Boyle, a very nice, touching interview that Ryan the Heck Guy Wallace did with him on the red carpet. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for the Golden Knights. Welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights. Frank Harness, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman here on a Friday, getting ready for development camp next week, getting ready for the NHL draft, which takes place in Dallas tonight, first round tonight, then all the other rounds. And we'll see. Well, right now Vegas doesn't have a pick, but we'll see. Sometimes things can change out there. But getting back to the NHL awards and the red carpet event, a very cool thing over at the Hard Rock. Thanks to everybody for making that happen. Always enjoy the time out there. And Ryan, I know you had a chance to catch up with somebody that you were looking forward to interview on the red carpet. And here's Ryan, the Hockey Guy Wallace's interview with Brian Boyle.
Ryan, the Hockey Guy, here with Brian Boyle. Brian, just talk about your journey this year and what you've meant to so many people, myself included.
Oh, I appreciate that. I've had such great examples of faith and strength throughout my life. It's obviously things happen throughout life, and it's difficult sometimes at the time to process everything. There are challenges. My wife and I had to have our fair share this year, one after the other. With my situation, it was a little bit easier because I felt in my own body what I could control, and I felt pretty good, all things considered, and I started feeling better and better. With our son, it takes a lot of support, a lot of help. We got that from the fans, from our organization and other ones that I played with, even ones I hadn't. But most importantly, from my wife being able to play. She allowed me that strength, that ability to go out and do what I love to do. And she took care of most of the burden that we had to deal with this year. It's been a tremendous blessing to me, and I'm very, very thankful and very well aware of all of it.
And just how much pride do you take in knowing that people that might be going through something can just turn on the TV and see you and recognize that if you were able to figure something out, if you were able to get through some hard times, that maybe there's hope for them too?
Well, we don't know what lies ahead. We don't know what we're going to be dealt with. And it always seems like it's at the most inopportune time. I mean, that's life. It happens. It's what life's all about. If it was boring, I don't think it would be worth it. So, I mean, I'm fortunate enough to be raised in a family that gave me a strong faith. I have a fabulous wife who's beautiful inside and out. But you have to find the things that give you that strength, no matter what your situation is. And for me, it's, you know, I love hockey. I love playing the game. It's something that motivates me on and off the ice. And I've been fortunate enough to have these examples of people that have shown me strength, showed me character through adversity. And I've looked up to them, and it's something to fall back on. So hopefully I could be an example as well. It's a big responsibility to play in the National Hockey League, and I take it very seriously.
And just if we can talk really quick about your teammate, Taylor Hall, obviously had a great year. But I think it goes to show how important chemistry is within a locker room, within teams, and just how much has he grown this season.
Well, I think we could have put Taylor out there by himself. He would have done a lot. His motivation, his inside, his drivetrain, what he has in his inside him, it goes well beyond talent. And he is a tremendous leader for our club, you know, for the young men that want to play, people that want to play, and everybody that he can be. He's a role model. The way he conducts himself within the team, he's been tremendous for us. He's a young guy who acknowledges his responsibility, and I mean, the points and all that, that's great. What I saw from him this year was truly remarkable as a man, and what his character shows.
Thanks a lot, Brian. Good luck tonight.
Thanks a lot, Ryan.
Brian Boyle on the red carpet with Ryan the Hacking Guy Wallace. And Ryan, I know that this was an interview that you were looking forward to, but also a little bit, I don't want to say apprehensive about, but I know it was an emotional time for you as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting because he asked me after, you know, when I opened the interview by saying, being an inspiration to people, myself included, and he kind of asked me what that was about, and I told him about my mom and what happened with her this year and what I've kind of gone through. And it was funny because I told him that my mom was a big fan of his when he was with the LA Kings organization. I mean, goes way back, right? And he laughed a little bit. He's like, my goodness, like, where I got my start, that's pretty crazy. And we chatted for a good 2-3 minutes after he did the interview and you know, shared a quick story here and there. And it was just really nice not just to talk to him, to talk to somebody that has been through so much this year, but just to talk about his outlook and his insight and just how he approaches day-to-day life and how he felt about his situation, but how he felt about his son's situation too. I mean, everything that he was saying, I could relate to 100%. And it was nice to get that from a professional athlete. It was nice.
Yeah, I know all the troubles your mom had gone through this year. My dad, as well, I know my dad passed away last year after a 17-year fight with the disease. And you learn to live with it, but you learn to help them fight. And then you learn to fight for them on days that they can't fight for themselves, and to have that inspiration, to have somebody to look to. I know for your mom, it was somebody like Brian Boyle. For my dad, it was somebody like Lance Armstrong, and being able to see him go through what he went through and the work that they did with the foundation there. But it is important just to have those shining little lights or moments or somebody to root for on the days that that you don't feel like getting out of bed.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting too, because, and I know sometimes it probably sounds like we're a PR machine for the NHL or the Vegas Golden Knights or something, but it is something special too when you do meet people that you're looking forward to meet and you find out that they're just as good or even better than what you thought they were or had heard they were. Because let's face it, in this day and age, you meet a lot of people out there that sometimes can be jerks or something. And hockey players in general tend to not be that way, at least from what I've found this year, even more so than I knew in the past. And that doesn't mean that there's not idiots out there that are committing domestic violence or doing some stupid stuff or whatever. But is generally speaking, the guys we've met on the Vegas Golden Knights, the guys we've met from other teams on the red carpets this year, last year, the years previous and all that, they've all been pretty much down-to-earth good guys. And I think maybe it's because of that small-town mentality, that's kind of that close-knit type of family or something like that. That's just one of the other reasons, besides the fact that I think it's the most exciting sport to watch live that there is in the world, that I love the NHL.
And let's not, you know, take out of the equation the fact that there was a lot of somber undertones to this ceremony because of all the things, all the tragedies that happened surrounding this NHL season. And sometimes when you see guys that go out into the community and you're not in that community, you don't really know exactly where they're coming from. But I also talked to Roberto Luongo, and he came across so well-spoken and so emotional about everything that happened back down in Parkland. And it's just, you never want to go into a conversation and then leave it feeling like the person you just talked to is disingenuous. And you never get that with hockey players. If they believe in something or they are in something, they're in it 100%, and that's what I love about the sport.
And one of those things that was fun with Brian Boyle is that he was part of an unexpected story this year, and what a treat for the fans in New Jersey, not with just the success that Brian Boyle had, but Taylor Hall, the team as well, reinvigorating that fan base.
Yeah, and when you're talking about that somber night and that kind of stuff, and you're right, we also had a chance to talk to Roberto Luongo, and I know he was wearing the ribbon for the Parkland mm-hmm. kids. And yep. Was there anything more at any of the events that we saw when those kids from Humboldt came together the first time that they were reunited? It didn't matter who else was in the room or what else was going on. They had the spotlight around them. Every eye in the room turned to look at them, and not like in a sorrowful, it was like they were a beacon of light and hope with what they did and what they meant. And a night that was somber but also fun and a lot of other things, there was that overturn of it, but it just kind of really shows the strength that humanity has in that when the worst of times come. And seeing those kids together, to me, that was almost one of the highlights, if not the highlight of the entire thing this year.
Yeah, and I mean, hockey's a close-knit community, and you hear that all the time from the players, but I think It was even the days before where you have the Connor McDavids, you have the Anze Kopitars, you have the PK Subbans wanting to take time out of their day and go talk to these kids from Humboldt, not because they're the kids from Humboldt, but because they want to just go talk hockey with these kids because they know what they aspired to be one day. I mean, Connor McDavid, PK Subban, Anze Kopitar, all those guys were once Humboldt kids. I mean, not from Humboldt, but they were going through the same things. They were on the buses. They were traveling. They were trying to make it to the NHL. So you take your time out of your day and you go and you try to just create a contact with these kids. I think it's the greatest thing. And a lot of things the NHL doesn't get right, but these moments are the ones where they really shine.
Yeah, there's a real quiet dignity about that group, and what better person to pair them with for the day than Willie O'Ree, who is the personification of a quiet dignity, and what a treat for all of them involved.
And this better be the year they put him in the Hall of Fame.
Put him in the
Just
Hall.
Knock it off already. Jeez. How is that possible? Anyway, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. There's a lot of news going on, and a lot of it with goalies. And before we get to what's going on with some of the goaltenders in the league, who might be on the move, looks like they are most definitely on the move. Speaking of goaltenders, one of the best ones this year was Connor Hellebuck from the Winnipeg Jets, and our own Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace had a chance to catch up with him on the red carpet as well.
Ryan the Hockey Guy here with Connor Hellebuck. Connor, you're up for the Vezina Trophy. What does that mean to you?
It means a whole lot. It means that all my hard work's paying off, and not only that, it shows the team around me is really playing well and we're clicking well.
It does, but there's a lot. You're the last line of defense. Obviously, you had a great statistical year. What changed for you or just allowed you to be more consistent this season?
I would say just the foundation I built over the summer. I continue to get better, and last year I made a whole lot of improvements. And then this summer I made a really good foundation with a new strength coach, Adam Francilia, and my new agent, Ray. And we just kind of we put that foundation so whenever anything goes south, we kind of build it right back up.
And then so much about goaltending is between the ears, is just kind of forgetting mistakes and focusing on the next play. How difficult is that, not just in-game, but after games?
Well, I think that's where the team comes into play. I trusted these guys right to the end that they were going to come back in every game. So if we ever got down, I truly believed we were going to win. And that went through every game, every second, no matter what the situation was. I believed in the guys in front of me.
I know it's been a little bit of time, but you're back here in Vegas. What are kind of your thoughts and opinions on Vegas, the hockey market, and T-Mobile Arena just as a place to play?
You know what? I think this place puts on a great show. The production here is phenomenal. They got great music, and the fans, they really rally behind it. So you know, it's a good spot for hockey.
All right. Thanks a lot, Connor. Good luck tonight.
Thank you.
Connor Hellebuck there with Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace on the red carpet. And those goaltenders sometimes are a little bit different, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think Connor Hellebuck's one of the interesting ones in the league. I spoke to Ilya Bryzgalov during the Stanley Cup final in the locker room one of those days. And I think Connor Hellebuck is about as uncomfortable slash weird slash spacey as Ilya Bryzgalov, and I'm not blaming that on the goaltender position. I'm just blaming it on Connor Hellebuck being a weirdo.
Well, all right, there then is a lot of players that are in flux in the goaltender position coming up this year, but we know one guy that is not, and that's your old pal Louis Domingue, who just signed a 2-year deal worth $1.5 million per season to be with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Good for Louis Domingue. He doesn't have to play very often because Andrei Vasilevskiy is a workhorse. So therefore, he won't play very often and he'll still get paid to be in the NHL. So best for both worlds.
Better day for him than from some other folks in the goaltending position, Frank.
Well, and again, we don't know exactly how it's going to work out for some of these guys, but for Craig Anderson, I think it might be a good thing. He's basically going to be getting out of Ottawa, and boy, it seems like there's a mass exodus right now from the Senators. What a difference between maybe one of the differences between the United States and Canada, besides all the arguing that's going on right now, is the difference in the success of their nation's capitals hockey teams.
Yes, absolutely. Craig Anderson, he wants out. He's still got two more years at more than $4 million per season, so somebody will have to have a little bit of room to take on Craig Anderson.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Ottawa can't retain any of the salary because they're not going to have anybody to pay next year. So they could definitely do that. if I'm Ottawa, I try to just full rebuild, give the guys what they want. You got Pierre Dorion. It's not like he's going to get good deals out of it anyway, even if everybody in the league didn't know he had to move these guys. So I hope they do right by Anderson and get him out of town if that's what he wants.
Another guy without a job will be Robin Lehner of Buffalo. Their general manager said of Buffalo, it's a scenario where you finish 31st, you have to make some difficult choices. And Robin Lehner, he's going to be out. Jason Botterell, great quote.
I mean, yeah, as the general manager and the architect of that team that went 31st, maybe the change needs to be with you. But I guess when it's your first year, you kind of get cut a little bit of slack. And then, you know, you can make the argument that maybe the coach, but then again, it's your first year again, so you get some slack. But I guess Robin Lehner doesn't get any slack, which is fine because he's not all that great anyway, and he's kind of a nut job. So maybe this is a good thing for Buffalo. I don't know. I keep hearing Ryan O'Reilly is going to be moving somewhere. I mean, Buffalo's got to do something. They cannot be this bad. Like, on paper, they are not this bad.
We know they're getting Dahlin coming in there, so maybe a guy like Lehner would do better with a good defenseman in front of him or two as well.
Hey, Frank, I'm not a general manager. I don't make those decisions, but it stands to reason that if you get better defensively, your goalie's probably going to be better.
And that's what I would think. So.
That seems to be the going philosophy.
But it's time to move on.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's like, we got to move somebody on to make it look like I'm doing my job, or they're going to be moving me on.
And the sad thing is, though, there's not. That's why I think the whole Anderson thing's interesting, because there aren't a lot of great options other than Grubauer of folks that are looking for jobs. You look at Anton Kobodin, Yaroslav Halak, Jonathan Bernier, Carter Hutton, and Cam Ward as being the other options that you have at the goaltender position.
I mean, I wonder if they're all in on Linus Ullmark. Maybe they are. I don't know. But that's Botterill's room to figure that out, I guess. I don't know.
Well, let's be honest. Let's look at the three teams that we're talking here with goaltenders, because you just mentioned Cam Ward there as well. Ottawa, Buffalo, Carolina. Are these places that a really quality goalie is going to be jumping up and down going, I'm going there because I want to win now?
Well, at least you feel like you have a chance in Carolina.
You know who Buffalo could probably make a trade for? Antti Niemi.
I don't know. Montreal really likes him.
If you're Antti Niemi, do you want to stay in Montreal or do you want to go to Buffalo?
Well, I'd
argue go to Buffalo.
It's
going to get
too.
A lot worse in Montreal.
Hey, real quick, too, I want to throw this in there because I know we don't have a lot of time left for the news here, but the New York Islanders, we wanted to get in that with Tavares and their GM coming out and basically saying there will absolutely not be a sign and trade with Tavares. That if they sign him, they're signing him to stay there. And Barry Trotz has said that he thinks that things will go smoothly with those contract talks. I think he kind of said that in Washington, though, too, didn't he?
Go to market, JT. Go to market.
The thing that's funny about that is there was all the talk about maybe Philip Grubauer was going to go and help them in the goaltending with the Islanders. But now does Grubauer go there because of Trotz? Because they had the little whole benching incident there in the playoffs. So does Philip Grubauer want to go to New York now?
I mean, to be fair, Barry Trotz went against everyone's better judgment and started Grubauer over Holtby, and it didn't work out very well. So I don't know. Who knows?
Makes a fun dynamic on the island.
Yeah.
Well, I would think that Grubauer wouldn't really have the beef. If anybody let the other one down, it was Grubauer let Barry Trotz down.
Exactly.
Because he gave him the shot, and he completely did not work out. And then Holtby, it gave him a shot in the butt, and well, he won a Stanley Cup.
Maybe Grubauer will go to Buffalo.
Yeah, maybe. Well, someone's got to go there, right?
Right. Somebody.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. When we come back, we're going to wrap it up on a Friday. All right, welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Your home for the Golden Knights. Frank Harness, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman. And, we got a little breaking news about the show here that we have to pass along to people. This will be our last time for the next couple of months that we'll be on a Friday, as we will be cutting back for the summer hours, I guess. One day a week, we'll be doing the show on Wednesdays. We will continue to do it on Wednesdays, but just one day a week now for the next couple of months until training camp opens up. But we'll still be around City National, checking out development camp and other things as well. But I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. And remember, you can still hear us on Wednesdays, but then we will be back to 5 days a week soon.
Yeah, and we will be out at City National Arena all next week, so it's almost like we're not off, and we'll be there every day.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at Ryan Hockey Guy.
@Clayton_JoeFan.
VGK Frank.
And at Magnum 702?
That is correct.
There you go.
All right, and coming up next, well, he'll still be out 5 days a week. T.C. Martin coming up next. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, The Doctors, on his way on Fox Sports Radio.